Welcome to POV and My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you don't get paid. I'm your host, Divine Philemon. Before we dive into this new season, remember you can listen ad-free with early exclusive access to all of the season's episodes by subscribing to POV Plus on Apple Podcasts. Our new merch is live at www.pov.plus. Yes, that's www.pov.plus, not .com. Don't miss our featured shirt this week, Sad Girls Go to Heaven. The link is available in the description below. I'm also super excited to announce a giveaway. Leave a rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify for a chance to win one of each of our merch items and to get a special shout out on the show. Make sure to check out our newsletter, The Hot Sexy Overshare, released every Saturday on Substack in conjunction with our regular weekly episode of POV You're My Therapist. All of this and more can be found at www.pov.plus. This podcast is brought to you by POV Plus. Our theme music is Still Barkin' by Chad Tuthill. All editing, production, and artwork are done by yours truly, Divine Philemon. For more updates, follow us on Instagram at POV You're My Therapist Pod and at Vine Philo. Check us out on TikTok and YouTube. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country, and jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hi, guys. Welcome to POV, You're My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you do not get paid ever at all and will never get paid. But today I am so excited because we are in NYC and I am joined with a very, very special guest. Today I have with me Chase Bird, who, first of all, is not spelled the regular way. It's spelled C-H-Y.
So close.
C-Y?
C-H-A-Y-S-E.
Shocking.
You got the Y though. People just forget it.
That's how I know, like, you're a Southern girl.
Thank you.
Chase.
Chive.
I'm going to spell it how you say it, Chive.
I appreciate it.
But if you don't know Chase, she is an amazing fitness person. She is, I didn't want to say influencer because I don't know if you like that word.
Just go social media advertiser, if anyone ever asks, because it makes me nervous saying influencer. Content creator, I feel like, is too mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
So social media advertiser, if we will. In the fitness space.
In the fitness space. And she does it so freaking well. I be in the gym, not regularly, but I feel like I go through you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll log into TikTok and there's Chase. She just ran half a marathon. And it wasn't an actual marathon. She just did it for funsies.
You know, that's an average Tuesday over here.
An average, your unemployed friend on a Tuesday.
Yes, yes.
This is what she does. But also, Chase likes to get deep on her TikTok, which is something I really appreciate, and which is why I have her here. And I think that's why I relate to your content so much, because even though it's, you know, I'm not a fitness girly, like, that's not my shtick, but you have such an openness with your audience about, like, where you are, your mental health, your healing journey, and all of that. And that's so exciting to see. So how do you feel like you, like, show up in social media?
Honestly, I don't know. I just try to present myself as who I genuinely am, because people know. They know whenever you're trying to BS something. So it's like, there's no point in me trying to filter who I am or what I'm doing, because again, the truth is always going to come out. So there's no point in trying to hide or not deflect, but deflect what makes you you. And like me with my fitness journey, it started so rough and I don't want people to go through that. So I want to come off as genuine as possible and as real as possible so people know that they're not alone in whatever they're doing, whether it's fitness or just life. Because I wouldn't say that I specialize in fitness, because I definitely don't. Like you said, I go out into the mental health realm because that is something that I genuinely struggle with. And again, I want people to know that they're not alone. in any of this. So it's like, I just try to present myself in the most genuine and true way. So yeah.
Yeah. I think like when I think of you and how you represent yourself on social media, the word relatable comes up a lot. And like, I always think of like, who else is doing piss pant reviews? Like,
I got to trademark that. I need to trademark
you that. You need to. Like, you, like, literally, because, like, if you don't know what the piss pant reviews are, basically, she takes a pair of leggings, takes them to the gym, works them hard as fuck, and by the end, she's like, do you look like you pissed your pants? Yes or no? And most of the time, it's yes.
Most of the time, it really, I've only had one 10 out of 10, and it was, like, a $20 Lululemon Align dupe.
Really?
That they're no longer sold anymore, which I'm so confused. So it was, like, that was the only time I ever got a passing...
Piss pant. No piss pant. But I love that you show up so vulnerably online. And I think it's so helpful because you're so open about like your history with mental health and like your history with your eating disorder and all of that. And I wanted to talk more about that because the one thing that I really related to that you posted to recently was you were talking about how you've kind of put yourself in isolation and the whole ghosting thing. Chase like I is a ghoster. She likes to do a little ghosting every once in a while.
A little too often, might I say.
Right. Ghosted her therapist, which I'm like, you deserve a prize.
Yeah.
But I understand that feeling because like all the time, like I'm like, I want to, when she says something a little too real, I'm like, who are you? How dare you? Like, why would you even bring that up?
And self-reflecting must be done now.
Right. A lot of self-reflecting must be done. And it's hard. So like a lot of the times when we get up against those walls, like the easiest thing to do is to just ghost. But you're working on that. And how have you felt that's going?
I think it's going pretty well. I've always struggled. So I grew up with 10 siblings. I had a million people around me constantly growing up. So that was part of the reason why I do what I do, or do what I did, should I say.
Right.
Just never really having my own space. I always shared a room with either my sister or my brother. There was no in between. But growing up in that kind of scenario where, again, I just really never had alone time to living on my own and realizing, oh my God, I love this. I love being by myself. I just conditioned myself into thinking I don't need other people because I can now do it on my own. And I don't need to rely on other people because what if they fail me? What if they don't follow through with what they said, even though I'm very guilty of not following through with what I have committed to do with others. So it's very hypocritical of me. But with that being said, I was in therapy before I ghosted her, right? And my therapist she told me that I needed to speak with three people three times a week for just 15 minutes. It didn't have to be any friend. It didn't have to be anyone. It could literally just be a barista at a coffee shop or the worker at the gym, just anyone in passing, just to get myself socializing again and to uncondition just like this pattern and habit that I had so deeply built within myself. So I started doing that 2 or 3 months ago. And at first it was so hard. Just, I know 15 minutes might not seem like a lot, but super difficult at first. But then like anything else, you get used to it. You just have to stick with it. It's like going to the gym. Everyone hates it at first, but then you start to build up a habit and you don't necessarily start to enjoy it, but you start to, you know, understand why it's maybe important to go or why, you know, going for a walk every morning is important. But it's that same thing. Humans are not meant to be isolated. We are social creatures. We need to be around people. And even these like 15-minute interactions have made me realize how lonely I am and how alone I feel constantly. But I was in such denial over it because I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted. I didn't have to, you know, report back to another person or whatever. So I feel like now I'm in a much better place. Yes, there's still a huge path that I must travel across, but I think that I'm in a much better space, which is nice. Like I truly, 3 months ago, if you would have asked me to do this, I would have said no because it would have involved a conversation of me being not vulnerable, but just being around people and talking. But whenever you asked me, I was like, oh my God, yes, I'm there. I 1000% want to do this. I want to talk to people. I want to see people. So it's definitely helped in that sense.
That's amazing because that is one of the hardest things to do is to put yourself out there and to seek relationships is to seek community and to lean on people in that way.
Yeah.
Because it's scary. Like, it's just so scary. And, you know, I have rejection sensitivity. So, like, every time any conversation kind of goes left, I'm just like, why would you do that?
Like, and what's so, that's so funny because I'm the polar opposite. It's like, you have the fear of that. I'm the one doing that. And it's like, I'm so self-aware of it. And it makes me feel so guilty. And that's another reason why I really wanted to work on this, because the people I was ghosting, they didn't deserve it. They didn't do anything wrong. So it's like, for me, I would always look for like red, like tiny little quote unquote red flags. They're not even red flags. They're just minor human mistakes that I could use and blow up out of proportion just so I could leave that friendship and be alone. So it's...
That's exactly what I was going to ask. I was going to ask if the ghosting is a slow process of you just withdrawing from these relationships, or if it's like you're seeking out perfectionism because you know it doesn't exist. So you're like, nobody is perfect. You know that at your core, but that's not necessarily something that you allow people the grace to have, so that when they do something wrong, you can just, oh, bye. No,
that is literally like, it.
And that's what I do.
Yeah. Oh, look at us. We're twins.
Twins.
Oh, my God. But yeah. Here we are. Here we are today.
Therapizing. Healing. Trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so... No, but girl, I understand, because like I had this conversation recently with my therapist, because I was telling her that I felt like something was wrong, because why am I not fixed? Like, I don't get it, girl. Like, I've been paying you for like 2-3 years. Like, I am supposed to be
brand. Are you doing your job, or are you just taking my money?
Right. I'm like, I need to be brand spanking new. Like, why do I still feel the urge to ghost the person that I'm involved with? Like, I he didn't do anything wrong. I just want to leave. Like, why am I scared?
Yeah.
And it's like every time I'm healed, it's like there's that one thing in the peripheral that you didn't even know was in your home. And you're just like, who the fuck are you? And it's like, hey, isn't this so scary?
Isn't this a little weird?
Isn't that, you got a person in your house. That's weird.
What if they are like a murderer? You never know.
Maybe you never know. I saw a TikTok yesterday where this girl was like, when I'm playing with my 1-year-old and then I remember he can grow up and kill me. I was like, bitch.
Bruh. It's like, those are such intrusive, scary thoughts, but you never know.
So you have to ghost them first. You have to ghost your child first.
And also, how embarrassing if they ghost you first, you know?
Terrifying.
God.
God forbid.
Like, what am I going to do?
Right. Die. Like, yeah. I started taking Hormone Harmony because the minute I turned 27, those easy breezy periods were a thing of the past. Suddenly, I was feeling down, I was struggling to feel comfortable in my body, and my sleep quality had even taken a hit. Now that I've been on Hormone Harmony for a minute, I can tell you that my sleep has gotten better, it's regulating my gassing and bloating, definitely reduced it, and it's helping to support my hormonal balance and regulation, which I'm telling you, as you get older, is so important. I and millions of other women can say that we are starting to feel like ourselves again. That is the biggest benefit of all of this. Happy Mammoth, the company that makes Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's life easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, and non-GMO, and third-party tested. For a limited time, you can get 15% off of your entire first order at happymammoth.com just by using the code POV at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code POV at checkout for 15% off today. When you find yourself in these periods of isolation, like, what do you like focus on? Because I know for me, when I don't isolate altogether, I will isolate away from my romantic relationships and go full force into community relationships. And like literally for that point in time, hopefully this is not offensive to nobody, but I'm like asexual at that point. Like, I have no men. What is that? What's happening there? I'm focused on the girlies and the gays and the thems and the theys. Like, I am in my community. But when I isolate from my community, I'm like deep into romantic relationships. So like I'm pulling from one thing to another. And then when I isolate for myself, I'm mad at everybody for not isolating with me.
Yeah.
You know, like how dare you reach out?
Yeah.
So like in that space of isolation, like what do you focus on? Like what do you work on?
I I've always had a very small like friend circle. So maybe 3 to 4 people that I'm like genuinely close with. And even at that point, they're all in different parts of the state. They're all in college. I don't see them physically that often. And I know that they're busy. So we don't talk. We talk a few times a month, if even that. And then whenever we get together, it's a really good time. But we haven't really had like a deep connection in a while because, again, we've all been very, very far away from one another. But I've never really had a romantic, not life, but I've never really been involved in it because, again, I ghost everyone that I'm ever like interested in because, again, it's that fear of rejection. So it's like, I want to leave you before you leave me. And that goes for friendship. That goes for friendships as well. So whenever I'm like in periods of isolation, I don't even know what I'm focusing on. I'm either at the gym, recording videos, editing stuff. I'm just focusing on my work and what I do. And it's that just takes up most of my time so I can distract myself from what's really going on. So it's like either I'm out going for a walk or, again, I'm recording videos, gym, maybe sitting at a coffee shop and people watching thinking, yeah, no, literally. Or it's like one really weird thing that I'll catch myself doing is going to very public spaces and just like not watching people in a creepy way, but people watching, like thinking, oh God, I wish I had that. I wish I could go and hang out with my friends right now. I wish I had access to that. When in reality, I do. Like I truly could. I could just reach out to my friends, but deep down, I don't want to. You know, it's so weird and contradictory, but yeah, I'll just like find myself wanting to be in social situations, but then never actually acting on it because it's the fear of being in a social relationship, not social relationship, but of like hanging out with people. It's the idea of hanging out with people that I hate, but the moment I'm doing it, I thoroughly enjoy it. So yeah, whenever I'm in isolation, it's just, I'm focusing on what gets the bills paid.
Right.
And then also wanting to be with people.
So weird.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah.
It's like the thing that you want to do the most is the thing that you're so afraid of doing.
Yeah.
Because like, let's be real. It is hard to like open ourselves up to people because at any given point, that's the reality of it, is that they can just leave. But I think the thing about therapy and healing is like knowing that even if they do leave, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That it doesn't take anything from you. And I know you feel guilty about like ghosting a lot of people, but the reality of it is a lot of them are probably saying she has probably things that she needs to deal with. So they're not angry at you or anything. Cause I know like there have been moments like when it's different for men. Cause I'm just like, you guys aren't real.
You're not real.
Right. Like I made you up.
Yes.
And this is not real. Like this doesn't, how could you ghost me? Like this is crazy. So but like when it comes to like friendships and stuff, like every time I've had a friend ghost, like I try to do the empathy. And I try to think like, well, I know you have so much going on right now. And like, and maybe there's just not enough emotional bandwidth to support another relationship. And especially a new relationship or one that is not very consistent. So I try to do that, but I hope like that, you know, you don't feel guilty about that because it's just something you're working on. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody can relate to how difficult it is to just open up to people, like in general, because people are people.
People are people. And another thing I have to remind myself, it is normal for people to fade in and out of each other's lives. Like that is another part of the human experience. Like you're going to meet someone and 2 years later, you might not be speaking to them, but they had an impact on your life at that given moment. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse for me withdrawing from relationships. But with that being said, I know it's super easy for me to reach out to these people and just apologize for what I've done. And I've done it too.
Right.
I would say 80% of the people have ghosted. I still have a few more that I have to work through.
This is like AA.
Yes, yes. Yes, it really is. But it's like, it's just with that, like you can reach out to people and just apologize. And most people are going to understand.
Yes.
Really, really nice. Most people are forgiving. Most people are very gracious. But it's just, again, you just have to be super genuine and not, oh, hey, I'm being told I have to apologize because my therapist said, like, no, dude, be genuine about it. Be genuine about it. And then most people really and truly be like, hey, I get it. Like, no big deal. Let's get coffee. And then just agree. Just do it. So, yeah.
Right. So has it been refreshing to, like, reignite those relationships?
It has been, yeah. So, yeah, definitely. That's my answer, definitely. Like, there's no point because, again, I realized how just alone I felt. So literally getting just like a sipple of human interaction has been so nice and just so relaxing. Mm-hmm. Just like my anxiety no longer exists the moment I'm in someone's presence, which is so strange because I'm not alone festering in my thoughts.
Right.
So it's like I can actually like verbalize how I'm feeling with someone who I know cares about me. And it's not like I'm going and meeting up with people that I don't really know a lot about, you know, and I'm not like just dumping all of my issues onto them. But I'm like, I don't know, it's just been so just refreshing.
Good.
Yeah.
The next thing I wanted to talk to you about was, which if you're comfortable talking about this, is I know that you have like a past history with eating disorders, and I'm same, but on the other end of the spectrum where like I have body dysmorphia, all of these funsies little thingies. And what I wanted to ask you was, how do you find balance in that past, you're healthy now, on your health journey now, but also engaging in a social media presence that is so focused on your appearance?
One thing I have pushed on my page, and I hope that people grasp this, is that I do not work out for my body. I work out for my body to healthier it, to get it more healthy. That's not even the right word. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't work out to change my appearance because the first time I tried doing that, it led me down a very deep, dark path of just the most self-hatred I've ever had towards myself. Because if you do not love your body the way it is now and you try to lose weight, you are not going to love it the moment you lose weight. That is not how it works, unfortunately. And the way I find balance is, again, just making sure that I am not doing any of that. And if I catch myself like saying, ooh, maybe I should like drop a pound or two, I quit lifting immediately and I just go for walks. I avoid anywhere where there's mirrors because that means my body dysmorphia is creeping back in. There's so many nuances that I have to try to avoid. So whenever I first started working out, it was like back in, I don't know, 2016, 2017. Like, it was like hardcore lift or die. Like, people were working out for gains, eat your protein, whatever. Like, it was just so strange. And all of these people were just like posting like before and after photos and just videos of them body checking and just like, here's how to get a six pack in 2 hours, blah, blah, whatever. Like, that's how I started my fitness journey. And that is part of the reason why it turned into an eating disorder so quickly, because I didn't look like what these influencers look like. And I was like, how is that? I'm doing what they're doing, but
right.
But I what's not adding up? So it's like I had to find a path for myself. And now that I'm an influencer, it's like I want to be what I never had for other people who are trying to start this journey. And so with like the body dysmorphia, that is something I still like heavily struggle with. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I ultimately have given up on weightlifting and I've gone to long distance running, because with weightlifting, there are mirrors all around the gym. Yeah. There are, like, you cannot avoid it. They're there. And whenever my body dysmorphia is raging, I cannot stare at myself. Like, it is so difficult. It makes it worse. So I started to run so I wouldn't have to look at my body, which I don't know if that's unhealthy or healthy. Not entirely sure.
It's a process. It really is. Listening to you talk, like, from obviously from what I'm getting from you, is that like you're very internal. Like, it's kind of like you've made your mind a very solace place. Like, it's this room, like it's your couch, like you have everything that's comfy there. And it's very smart of you that you know your triggers and that you avoid them when the time comes. Like, there's nothing wrong with having triggers, because as long as we have trauma, there will be things that trigger us. It's just knowing what to do when those triggers arise.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've taken long distance running as opposed to forcing yourself to suffer, mm-hmm. being in the gym that's like fucking 24, like almost at 24 hours, 360 mirrors.
Yeah.
Like, it's better for you in the long run than, you know, just like being like, oh, I need to mentally push past this. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no, like sometimes one part of your brain needs a break And you need to, you know, kind of put thought and time into another part of your brain.
Right.
But also, when you were saying that, what I was thinking of was, when you run long distance, what the fuck are you thinking about?
I was going to say, one of the
reasons. I need to know. Because,
So I have struggled with an eating disorder in the past, and it's something I'm not currently battling now. But again, those thoughts will creep into your mind, mm-hmm. and they get really scary really fast because you never know when a spiral could happen. Mm-hmm. You never know when a relapse could happen. Mm-hmm. Part of my eating disorder was like rooted in these very anxious thoughts. It was just, I don't know if I can go into detail about like what I was doing, but I was a binge purger. So bulimia and
not the sing song.
Not the sing song. She said,
this is the problem.
This is the problem. And I would only ever do it whenever I was really anxious. So it was never really revolved around how I look. So I wouldn't like look at myself like saying, oh, you're disgusting. You need to lose weight. Go throw up. But it was like, oh, I have this horrifying week next week. I'm so nervous. I'm so anxious. So I'm going to go eat everything in my pantry and then I'm going to regret that. And then I'm going to go act on this very impulsive behavior and purge. So like that's what mine was revolved around. So the way I was able to kind of not distract myself from it, because you don't really want to distract yourself from that. You do need to sit in those feelings and understand, why do I want to do this right now? Why is this an activity I would rather do over, you know, dealing with whatever is causing this anxiety? So I would just find myself going for walks. And while I was on these walks, you know, while I had these really intense urges to binge, I would just think about like, why? Like, what am I going to gain from this? Like, there's nothing more worse than the feeling I'm going to have after I engage in this activity. There's nothing worse than that. So why would I do that to myself? Why would I put that through myself? So I started just like distracting myself by going through for walks and working out and going to the gym. And then just while I was lifting prior to mm-hmm. all of this, there were no thoughts. Head very empty. Mm-hmm. There's nothing going on up here at all. Nothing.
Just one little monkey in a trombone.
Literally.
Like keeping count of your fed.
Yes. That was it. And then for my long distance run, this is not weird. I talk about it all the time on my TikTok, but I will literally play dramatic classical music, like just the, or like movie soundtrack scores, whatever. And I will run. I will run. And I will just create these scenarios in my head. Like it, I don't know. It's
like too, Batman is chasing you. You just robbed the.
Not even that. It's like I'm creating, like I'm a filmmaker up here. Yo. Like, you I'm know like, what's I should go into, I should be in Hollywood
yeah,
now.
And you,
I
that's should, where you need to be.
I need to start writing my ideas down. Cause sometimes I'm like, that would make a really good movie. I need to pitch this to someone. Where do I go? So it's like, I'm creating these scenarios, movies in my head where I'm the actress, of course.
Period.
And I'm winning all of these Oscars.
Who's the love interest?
Usually it's like Chris Evans, Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Josh Kiska. He's weird. That one's like that
Aaron,
one does
Aaron Taylor Johnson, this mummy.
Okay.
Can't share. Ever. We already got to share him with the old crow. Like
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on her? But we don't need to talk about
we
that.
Can, though. Okay. We can.
Okay.
I think she stole my husband. She stole his youth. Yeah. She stole, like, our kids. Like,
Locked him down
early.
Early. Like, my age. 19.
That's scary.
Like, I cannot imagine having a child at my age. Like,
I can't imagine.
What do you do?
I'm 27. It would be child pregnancy. Teenage pregnancy, child marriage.
It would be. And she was, what, like 40, right?
She was 40.
I can't even. My mom is 50. That is 10 years older than my mom. Oh, and my like, God. I'm like.
So scary.
Bruh.
Like, what? Bruh. What do you have in common besides, I don't know, a mother-son dynamic? We don't have to go.
They probably have a family therapist that they work with, you know, to work through all their issues.
Huh? Mm. No.
We can just hope,
you know, that he's in a good spot.
Let's hope that he is having a wonderful life.
Right. With the old crow. That's what I call
it. I hope he loves his children, though. They seem like sweet, wonderful individuals.
Yeah, I'm sure.
From the photos I've seen.
From the pictures we've seen of their family unit, non-tradish non-traditional family unit.
You know what? At least he's married. Like, what?
Right.
Who are we?
You know what? But you know what I've learned in looking at married people is sometimes you're better off alone. Because, like, I listen to my aunt sometimes, and I'm like, I love my uncle. I love y'all kids. But leave that man expeditiously.
Get out of here.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, he would drown in his own spit if you weren't around.
Oh, interesting.
Like,
yeah.
Marry if it's worth marrying.
Yeah.
But you're so young, and I it blows my mind that you're 19. Like, and I know, like, I tell you, you're like my little sister, but it blows my mind that you're 19. Because, like, what was I doing at 19? Not any of this. Like, one, you're so self, like, reliant, and you make your own money, you take care of yourself, you have this huge platform that you're using responsibly. Round of applause.
Stop it. Can we quit? Stop.
applause. Like, you're so young, and I always forget that, like, you are that young.
Yeah. June 17th, 2003. We're almost there, so it's coming up.
You weren't even here for 9/11.
No, I was not.
Oh, you weren't even an embryo.
Not even a thought in anyone's mind.
Oh, you were just chilling in a little ball sack.
I was. Curious. I was. How crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
2003?
Mm-hmm.
That's so shocking.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, because, you know, sometimes I go to write the date and I'm like, 2001. And I'm like, what?
What?
So I'm like, 2003? That's crazy. You have an old soul, is what it is. Or you just have so much life experience that, like, and I think, like, you had to learn quickly. And that's one thing I wanted to ask you is, like, growing up with 10 siblings, I couldn't imagine. I have one sister. She's 10 years older than me. And honestly, she's like my mother. I call her, like, my favorite mom.
Yeah.
No offense to my mom. It is what it is. Anyways, so, but, like, she had, like, the irritation of being the oldest sibling because, like, I had two cousins that lived with us, so it was, like, four kids.
Yeah.
So she felt like she grew up really fast because she had to take care of so many damn kids. So, like, where do you sit in that, like, line? Are you the youngest? Are you the middle?
So I'm the fifth, but we adopted. So originally there's seven biological birds. And then, well, we're all birds.
That's so funny.
But seven biological.
For a second, I was like, why are you calling yourself a bird?
No. Okay. Yeah. So there's seven biological siblings. And then we adopted three teenagers from Ukraine 4 years ago.
Okay.
And they range from 20, 18, 19, 17.
Okay.
One of the three numbers. So those are their age ranges. And so prior to us adopting them, I was fifth. So I have four older sisters, two younger brothers. And then 4 years ago, we adopted the three. So, I don't know.
So you're kind of like you're in the middle-ish.
Yeah.
Like upper middle?
Upper middle?
Upper middle.
I don't even, because the oldest one is 31 and then the youngest one is 10. So there's quite a big
age range. Gap.
Yeah. And growing up with even just like five older siblings, I always tried to mirror my older sisters, like who they were, because I don't know. I just, they truly were like really good friends of mine growing up. We would always do everything together. So it's like whenever they were in college, I was in middle school. So I would just try to be like them. And I feel like that's part of the reason why I am the way that I am, because they were 21-year-olds. Right. That's
a huge difference.
A huge difference. And I was 12 or 13 trying to be like a 21-year-old. That is ridiculous.
Oh my God.
So crazy. But not like in like a way of like, oh, I'm trying to sneak into a bar type.
Right.
Thing. But like just
but like carry fit, yourself. Yeah. And like
the way that they dressed, how they had friends, how they approached people, just everything. I tried to mirror that.
Yeah.
So then I could be deemed as more mature and like obviously something went right. I think so.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the reason. And again, just like having so many siblings and them just having people around constantly, just being around older people ultimately, because there is a pretty big age gap between all of us. So it's like, again, I just mirrored them and didn't have a personality of my own for quite some time. So yes.
That's quite a way to put it.
Yeah.
Because I was the youngest. I was the youngest. But being the middle, I always hear that like middle children always feel like they're the forgotten kid. Like, did you ever feel like that at all? Or just having so many siblings around, like, was it hard to like get individualized time like with your parents?
I don't even know. I don't remember most of my childhood, if I'm being entirely honest. So it's like, I remember I grew up near St. Louis. So I lived there up until I was 11. And then we moved down to Dallas for my dad's job. And all of my maturing years were done in Texas. So I just say I'm from there.
Yeah, same. All not Texas, but Georgia.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just easier. So I remember most of that there because I was developing as a human being. Like, I was able to form my own thoughts, my own opinions in Texas, but up in Illinois, like my growing up years, I really don't remember much of it, which is so strange because nothing crazy traumatic happened. I think just a lot of chaos in the house. I've always been very, not introverted, but I've always just needed to not be around people.
Around noise.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so I think just like having all of that around me constantly, I don't know. But yeah.
That's the thing. Like, forgetting your childhood. What's that doctor on TikTok? Dr. Ina. How, I don't know if you follow her. She's a psychologist. I think she's German. She does not fuck around. But she gets so mad when people on TikTok are like, I have this disorder. I have this. She's like, no. And I remember one time somebody said that forgetting a part of your childhood was like some traumatic thing. And she was like, it's not.
Yeah,
she was like, a lot of people forget their childhood because you're not meant to retain that much memory in your brain.
I just saw all those videos like circulating of like, oh, if you don't remember your childhood, trauma. I'm like, no, I know I had an okay childhood. I know I had a good childhood. Nothing crazy bad happened. And it's just, I'm a literal kid. Like, there's no way. My brain wasn't developed. I'm not going to remember 90% of what happened.
Right. And like, and also, you're somebody who seeks out solace. So I know with four kids in the house, it was loud as fuck. Like, my cousins were constantly fighting. Like, it was WrestleMania, like, all the time.
Yeah.
So I was just like, can y'all shut up?
Dude.
So having that many kids in a house, like, yeah, no, I can absolutely see you building a tent and going in there and staying there for a hot minute. Like, you're not going to remember, like, every day of that or what that looked like.
There was one time, I will say, we were having, I think it was, like, on Thanksgiving, all of my siblings, three of them were in relationships. They all had their significant others over. And there were probably, like, 15, 18, 19 people in the house, something like that, a lot of people. And I was so overstimulated, so overwhelmed. I just remember breaking down and crying on the staircase. And that was it. Like, that was my memory of that day. Just because there were so many people around, nothing bad happened. It was just, I just literally couldn't handle it. Yeah. And it was like, and it's crazy because that's, like, my family. So I didn't feel embarrassed or anything. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything weird, but
it's just, you crying.
Yeah, I was like, guys, will you
get your freaking ass out of my house.
Can I go to my room? I'm so tired. It, like, literally, it was like and that wasn't like most of my childhood. That was just like
that one event.
Yeah, that I was like, oh, that's something
to never. We should never do that one again.
Oh, no, at least give me like a heads up so I can run away for a night.
Right, or like at least just like don't bring the boyfriends. Like everybody else can come. Just everybody else stay at home.
Like those three extra people, which is a little too much for me.
But that's good to hear though, because like I know that like it can just be rough. And like I watch like if you consider going on TikTok and scrolling for 2 hours watching those people, the Duggars who have 18 kids.
Oh my God, they scare me a little.
They scare me too. They scare me real bad.
Yeah.
Because like you can very much see how the family is broken down. And it's weird because they're all the kids of these two people, but you can see like smaller family units within the family unit.
Literally how ours is. It's so crazy.
Really?
Yes. So my older sister, 30, next one, 28, and then the next one is 26. So that's like family number one.
Okay.
And then we have me and my sister. So she's 21, I'm 19, and then my 17-year-old brother.
Yeah.
And then there's the 11-year-old. And then they're the third adopted ones. But again, I'm not like saying that to
They'll understand
whenever they hear this. They get it.
That's more like who – that makes sense, though, because you guys are, like in age, like, separation.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you guys – you're probably in school at the same time.
Oh, you were talking about, like, friend – like
– like, I was talking about, like, family unit. Like, there would be, like – because they have multiple girls and boys. Like, there's, like – there'll be, like, two girls that pair up to take care of, like, one toddler. That's what I mean.
Dog, that's weird. That's like,
that's
you
weird
should
as
not
fuck.
Put your children
exactly.
at all. They are not meant to raise your
exactly.
kids that you voluntarily had.
Right. So that's what I was saying. When you see like such a big unit like that,
yeah,
it's normally separated like that, where like the two oldest ones will like take, I noticed that the two eldest
yeah.
take care of the babies. And then it's like, so if you're here on the chart, it's like you take the youngest, next up takes the second youngest, third oldest takes the third youngest. Like, you see what I'm saying?
That's
like, it's so bizarre. And then the parents are just like busy making more kids.
No, how do they afford like 1,000 children? How is that even? What do they do? Do we know?
I don't know.
Because I'm like, listen.
There has to be drugs involved.
There has to be. There's some illegal activity.
How do you feed 18 jabbering mouths?
No, I couldn't tell you. Like, that's insane. I had to start working at 15.
Oh, my goodness.
Because my dad's job, it paid for stuff. Like, we weren't ever financially in a rough place. But
right.
with there being 10,000 million kids.
Right.
It's like, right, we couldn't, like, I had to pay for car insurance. I had to pay yeah. for gas. I had to pay for all of that. So it's like, we had to pay for the things that we wanted. They gave us the bare minimum to survive, mm-hmm. which as a parent, they should. They gave us a roof over our mouths. They gave us food to eat. They did what they should as parents. But if we wanted anything outside of that, they were like, all right, get a job, do what you want. And I was like, yeah, say less. I'm going to go work. So it's like.
Such an overachiever. She said, I want my things.
I am very materialistic, and
you're talking to the right one. Like, I was actually gonna tell you, bitch, as I was driving up here, I don't know where it was, but there's a dog park. Yes, there's a dog park, and I want to say it was like two turns away. I don't know,
two turns away. Yeah,
there's a dog park, and I was like, oh my god, like, one, we should either go there, or two, that'd be such a great place for you to run, because they have like this dog mountain.
Shut up.
Yes.
I want to climb up this
like,
dog mountain.
Like, I was in the car and all I see is like 6 Pomeranians on a hill.
Imagine being a Pomeranian living in New York City.
Your
rent is paid for. You know you're eating the freshest
right.
food.
Right. But it's like, they're so strong because they're shitting on the sidewalk, babe. Like,
for real.
Like, literally. And my dog, like, Presh, if there's not grass tickling her ass, it ain't happening.
Mm-mm.
Grass to ass. But these dogs over here, like, I watched this dog, like, just randomly take a piss on the sidewalk. I was like, are you okay?
But, like, they don't know any better, you know? They were probably born and raised here, you know?
I know, born and raised.
Like, that's a flex in and of
itself.
It
is such a flex.
Being a dog born and raised in New York City.
I was thinking about that, too. Because, like, I saw this lady, I assume she's a dog walker because she had the belt and all.
I wonder how much they make. I'm so curious.
I wonder how much they make. Probably a shit ton of.
Yeah.
You need to become a celebrity dog walker in New York City.
So. I think that is my career path.
Like, honestly, because you run anyways,
yeah.
long distance running, and you love dogs. Like, I don't know. I feel like your whole run would just be you laughing. Like, fuck the classical music. It's the soundtrack is your laughter.
Just like a stampede of dogs running down a sidewalk. That's what I need.
Focus.
Yes.
Just.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
6 miles done. Easy.
Easy. Probably make an easy, like, stack a day.
All right. I'll look into it.
She said, I'm a money maker.
Absolutely.
Period. A hustler. But, like, I saw this lady. She was walking, like, 6 golden doodles. And I was like, fuck. You're living my dream.
Golden doodles kind of scare me. They have the most real eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stare at them too long.
You have, like, a classical dog. You have the amount of ums I just said, that was obnoxious as hell. You have like a classic Southern dog that you read in the book. Like, I love that dog. And the fact that he's a stray.
And the fact that his name is Cow. That's even
Cow.
Cow.
See, mine was this. Why my English just went out the window?
It happens.
I adopted my dog.
Yeah.
She looked so raggedy when I got her. And then after the first grooming sesh, this bitch is a Maltese poodle mix. Bougie.
What?
The bourgeoisie.
I love that.
Of doggies. And her eyes, like, I have a friend who she's like, no offense, but I don't like your dog. Because she has human eyes.
It's like, their heart's in the right place, but why are you looking at me like that? Why are you looking at me like that?
Not your heart's in the... Yeah, and, like, they communicate. Like, my dog is so smart that, like, there are moments where I'm just like, this is too much.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one time she was barking. Not barking, because she doesn't bark. She, like, complains like that. And she wasn't eating her food, and we make her food.
Like, from scratch?
From scratch. Like,
your whole chef?
Like, yeah.
I love that.
And, like, if I'm hungry while making her food, like, I will have a bowl of it because it's good. Like, it tastes good.
Okay.
And, like, there's no special doggy situation in there. Like, it's just food. So she didn't want to eat that specially made.
Next time that happens, just call me and I'll hop a flight and we can have meals together.
Seriously. But, like, more – it's and then it's like, look at – she came all the way here. And you don't want to eat your food. But I was eating ribs, so that was her problem.
Oh.
And she came up to me, like, she stamped her paw. And then I said, if you eat your food, I will give you a piece of rib. You know, she turned around, ate her food, finished, came back, sat in front of me with purpose, and stamped her paw again. She was like, yeah, you said that. I looked at my mom. I said, this is a lot right now.
There's a human, that's a human, just like disguised as a dog.
It's creepy. It's creepy. And she knows when you're talking about her, if you say dog,
yeah.
If you say pee, because her name is like Precious Pee, if you say Presh, anything. If you said, even if you say, she didn't eat today, she looks at you like, yeah, and?
Dude, I'm sorry you've just experienced that every day. I'm sorry.
Fine.
I'm sure she's a wonderful dog. I'm sure she's a fantastic dog.
She's a Zorg. She's
my Zorg.
She's my Zorgda. That's what I call her.
I love that.
My Zorgda.
I love that. Oh, yeah. Chase Bird. CHASEMBYRD. Follow me there. Instagram as well. That would be so swag. I don't know. My YouTube. I don't post anything there ever, even though I should.
And
feel free to check that out.
That's Chase CH. A-Y-S-E.
You got it.
R-Y-D.
B-Y-R-D.
You got
the Ys. That's all I care about. That is all. Everyone forgets them, so you're good.
Okay. So make sure you follow her and listen to what she says on TikTok, because she be giving, like, good advice. And, like, I love listening to her talk. Like, Chase is such... She's one of my mutuals that, like, I was so excited to see her because... Even though, like, she's posting for such a wide audience, I'm like, yes, you're talking to me. And I'm listening. I'm here. I've showed up. And I love that. And I love her so much. I'm so excited that we got to meet today.
Me too.
I'm so excited that you guys got to meet her because she's such an amazing person. So make sure you follow her on TikTok and Instagram. And make sure that you follow me, Vine Philo, VinePhilo, on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever. And also, I'm going to remind you, the best way to support an independent podcast is by sharing it with your friends and your family. Thank you very much. Okay. As always, I love you guys so much. We blow kisses at the end. Mwah. 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 Okay.